Well, Caleb, we finally pulled the trigger. We decided to be two guys that were having a conversation and we made a podcast. Welcome to episode one of the Crowd Blunders. Yay!
Hi, my name is Caleb.
Hey, and I'm Alan, and we're going to be your unfortunate hosts for however long you decide to listen to us and our bad advice. But, yeah, this is a podcast that Caleb and I decided to do because we were trying to actually find stuff on helpful tips from the community on podcasting, and not even so much that, I guess just more crowdfunding than anything, right? Trying to find somewhere to go. And we decided that what better way than just to tell our stories and the stuff that we see and maybe give you guys some advice that you can hopefully ignore.
We also really want to tell you what we did wrong and sort of how you might be able to avoid those pitfalls and maybe tell some funny stories about how we screwed things up along the way.
Oh, there's going to be a lot of, I don't know if they're going to be funny stories, but they're going to be more sad than anything, probably because of the fools that we were. But hey, we're learning. But as of to date, I have ran seven campaigns. All of them somehow have been successful. And I don't know why I keep doing it and putting myself through the stress of Kickstarter or crowdfunding, but that's a subject that we're going to tackle in a later episode. But Caleb, when we were talking about this, I said seven and I felt really proud. How many campaigns have you ran?
So I've run 16. However, you have run seven successful campaigns. You've never had one fail. I've run 16 and I actually did have one fail. So in that way, you've got one up on me.
But still, you have a lot under your belt. But for those who don't know, or just need a little bit more back information, my name's Alan Dunford. I am the co-writer and creator of Grandma Chainsaw and Pocus Hocus. And Caleb, let them know who you is.
Sure. My name is Caleb Palmquist, and I am the writer and creator of Unicorn Vampire Hunter and Vampire Detective in Space, among other things.
And both of those are fantastic. I just have to tell you that. I just read my Vampire Detective in Space number three today. And you, even though you sent me the script early, it was like reading it all over again for the first time. So it was awesome.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
You also write some good stuff. Pocus Hocus is very good, and Grandma Chainsaw is completely insane. So, good
That
job.
bill, then we delivered. Caleb, we wrote this down here in our show notes to just kind of give like a brief overview for how we met, and I don't remember.
Well, I'm pretty sure that we sort of existed parallel on Kickstarter for a while before we ever really talked. And I think that the origin of our meeting goes back to Dave Lentz because I was working with Dave Lentz from, I want to say, pre-pandemic. We're talking 2019. I did a book called Modern Mythology, which was an anthology on Kickstarter, and I ended up working with Dave. I mean, I needed an emergency letterer and designer, and now he does all of the letters and design on all my comic books. And I ended up introducing Dave to Mike Tiener, who is a longtime friend of yours, and through him, I believe that's how I is that how you end up getting connected with Dave?
Yeah, so I feel like this now is just going to be a long-running thing of how we met Dave. So whenever Hocus Pocus is my first comic book series, and whenever I approached Mike with it, because like Caleb said, he's a longtime friend of mine, and he already had his foot in the door with making indie comic books. He gave me a huge list of illustrators, a huge list of colorists, and a list of one letterer that he would recommend. And then I got Dave, and then Dave always talked about, whenever I was getting to know him, he's talking about the projects he's working on, which is an endless list of projects, I feel like. But then, he mentioned you a lot because I guess you were always cranking stuff out too. And then I guess just after that, we just eventually linked up.
Yeah, I think at one point we did a cross promotion on Kickstarter and we didn't really know each other. And then we just started talking here and then, here and there after that. And eventually we started, talking a lot. And so, that's kind of, I mean, that's how a lot of relationships I think start in the comics world, is that, you know, somebody else is making cool stuff and they know somebody that you know, and then you end up talking to them. And, you know, your web kind of grows like that. And some people just click better than others. You and I have had a lot of conversations. I think we probably had several seasons worth of podcasts if you had recorded all our phone calls over the last couple of years.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Because every time we call each other on the phone, we gab, like we haven't talked to each other in years. And we're on the phone for at least an hour at a time and it doesn't feel like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I think is great.
And I think that's what led to this. So, we promise you guys, we won't gab too long. I actually have a timer running to make sure that we stay on track, because, we want to try to keep our podcast down to, you know, a quick hit. You know, we don't really want to try to go over 30 minutes. So we want to try to keep it, you know, in the realm of 15 to 30 minutes, because you guys are busy and Caleb and I are on a 3-hour time zone difference. So we all have lives that we need to live, and I'm sure you guys don't want to listen to us for that long.
All right. So now that we've talked about how we met, I think we should get into the meat of what this podcast is really about. The podcast is called Crowd Blunders, The Crowd Blunders. But what we're really talking about is kind of the blunders that we made in crowdfunding and in indie comics. And so I think to start us off with the first episode, we should each tell a quick story about something funny that happened, an early story of something we messed up and what we learned from it. So why don't we start with you, Alan?
Okay. Whenever we talked about this, I had two that I was bouncing between, and it was a nightmare. Both of them were, but the one that really killed me, and this is kind of twofold. So we funded Pocus Hocus number one, and we had 70 backers, and it was like the best thing ever, because we made this comic book thinking no one was even going to read it, and it was just more of a hobby. Just because it was the pandemic and I think I was trying to do anything to not go crazy. So what I went ahead and did was, we made the campaign, set the goal low. And one of the stretch goals that we made was a print, and I was so happy with it. It turned out great, because whenever I was talking to Mike about stretch goals, and we'll have a whole episode devoted to stretch goals, I'm sure. You know, he said, it's not something that's required, but it feels like it's just kind of, you know, expected. And I've seen people message on other people's campaigns and stuff, and they're like, where's the stretch goals, right? Everyone wants rewarded for making sure that your book comes to life, and I get that. So I ordered these mailers, and I didn't know what Gemini mailers were. I didn't even know those things existed. So I ordered these crappy little boxes that you had to like fold and everything, but they fit a comic book perfectly. Because they were perforated. But whenever I did one of the stretch goals was a print, and whenever I did the order, it was an 8x10. And for those of you who are well more versed than I am, a comic book, a standard size comic book, is not 8x10.
Nope.
So it made shipping very, very difficult on those things, because I had to bend the boxes in a certain way, and I felt bad for everyone that got our stuff, because it looked like a bear got a hold of it first because of how I had to tape the box and package it. And I still think about that. And you know, whenever you're doing your first campaign, you feel like you have obviously there's room for error, but you still want to look as professional as possible. And I did not. And I still think about that every time I do a print, or even when you sent me that print today that I got, I was like, man, I can't believe I ordered an 8x10 print one time, because they're just small enough that like rolling them and then sending them out is just that much more inconvenient.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And I wasn't even thinking about it.
That, I mean, that's a huge one. That's a very funny story. And thankfully that's a mistake that I avoided early on. But I mean, that's one of the cardinal rules when you're talking about comics and prints, is that the prints have to be smaller than the comic book itself. Otherwise you're in a whole shipping nightmare.
Yes. Shipping's expensive anyway. And like, you can never predict the prices of shipping. That, and like Caleb said, that's why you want to make sure like the print can fit in the back of a bag and board, because it just makes life easy on everybody and it gets there a lot safer. But yeah, no, I hated myself for that.
Well, that is a blunder. And
that's a blunder and a half.
That's yep. So the story that I wanted to share is another thing that's like a total nightmare. But it wasn't super early in my crowdfunding career. When I was doing Unicorn Vampire Hunter number 2, I decided to offer an add-on of a 3-inch resin unicorn figure. And I had a very talented 3D modeler make this 3D file of the main character of the story. I had a friend down in Florida, and I live in Washington State. So I had a friend down in Florida 3D print these resin figures and then send them to me, and they turned out amazing. But the wonderful postal workers, I think, played rugby with the boxes, and every single figure arrived broken. It was a,
like, they arrived to you broken, or they arrived to the backers broken?
No, they arrived to me. So,
oh, thank God.
Yeah. Yeah. So yep. What I actually ended up doing was refunding the backers and then just scrapping the whole thing. I have a few left that are like the least broken ones that I sort of have around my office, but they were so broken, they were so busted, and we put in an insurance like claim with the USPS, and they took like 3-4 months to get back to me and said, no, we're not going to cover it. Which is when I learned that USPS insurance claims are basically nonsense. yeah, you have to like prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that they were broken when you opened them, and that there was nothing that you could have possibly done on either end, either the shipping or receiving end, to prevent them from being broken. And that's just an impossible standard. But so they were broken. I refunded all the backers. It cost me a lot of money, but I was like, I didn't, at that point, I was so pissed and I was so exhausted, I didn't have the energy to try to do it again. So I think, you know, what I learned from that was that if I'm going to do anything really crazy and outside the box, I need to really do my research. And honestly, with something like a 3D figure, if I was ever going to do something like that again, I would hire out a professional service to do it. We like to, you know, cut costs and figure out how to do things on our own, but that's not always the best solution. And, you know, when people are spending their hard-earned money on a crowdfunding campaign, you want to give them the best possible thing. You don't want it to arrive broken, and you don't want it to be less than top quality. And so that was just but opening that box and seeing, I mean, it was like a unicorn graveyard in this box.
I think I have a new idea for your next arc. So how much did you charge per figure?
Oh gosh. It was, I don't even remember. It might have been $40. It might have been less. It was a few years ago. I don't remember exactly how much I charged, but I remember I charged
enough.
I mean, it was enough that I would have made a little bit of money on them. And it did. That was a very successful campaign. I have no doubt that those unicorns figures helped me have the like impressive number that I had on that campaign, which I think might have been my most successful campaign to date at that point. But of course, then I had to refund a lot of the money. So
How many did you sell?
Oh gosh, like 50.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's way worse than mine.
Well,
yeah, like
yeah.
Oh my God. So yeah, the other story that, and this one was a small one because this was on the same campaign. Whenever I sent the surveys out for the first time, I'm panicking, of course. And I don't even know why it was a survey. Right. I didn't know it and I didn't scroll down far enough, but I just filled out the survey questions inside of the box instead of doing the drop downs. You know what I'm talking about? Like it says like Alan needs information for a survey.
Yeah.
Dude, I put all the information in there.
Ah!
And no one could answer or reply or anything. So I had to message everyone individually to get like t-shirt sizes and stuff.
Oh wow.
Like I think also being familiar with the platform is a way to avoid a crowd blunder.
For sure. No,
because
yeah,
that was an
sure.
honest mistake.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Just being familiar with it, I think is a big deal. I think, you know, we'll get into a lot of these things, but so many of, you know, things that have to deal with just fluency, can make a big difference. I've started using BackerKit and that was a beast to learn. But now that I've learned it, I think it's very easy and very helpful.
I've been thinking a lot about BackerKit as well, but I don't know yet. It's one of those, like, I hate change and I feel like I finally like am at a good rhythm, but I know BackerKit really streamlines everything and then tells you exactly how much you need to order of what.
Right. Right.
So again, conversation for another time, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure. But so, this is just the tip of the iceberg in terms of stories. We've been doing this for a long time. I've been crowdfunding since 2017 and making comics for at least 3 years before that. And Alan has been crowdfunding for a few years.
Yep.
I think
2021. It feels like an eternity though.
Yeah. Which, I mean, that is a long time. 2021. I mean, and then I'm sure you were coming up with ideas before that too. It wasn't that when you launch your first Kickstarter, that's not the beginning. Not really. And so we have a lot of stories. We've done a lot of things wrong and we've done a lot of things right. And we have a lot of stories to share, but we want you guys to be involved. And so if you have questions, if you're looking for advice about a crowdfunding campaign or about indie comics, making indie comics, buying indie
comics. Or if
you
just want to share your indie comic with us or tell us your crowdfunding story. We're all ears.
Yeah. If you have a story about a time you screwed up, or you want to share a comic that you've made, or you want to anything like that, we will read all your emails and we will reply to them. And we might even feature your question on an episode of the Crowd Blenders in the future. So the email for that is the important part, is crowdblenders@gmail.com.
That's right, guys. No one else had that email. We didn't have to put a number after it or anything.
It's true. We literally just signed up for that email before we recorded this podcast. And I thought it was going to have to be the Crowd Blenders or Crowd Blenders Brothers or some nonsense.
Blunder
like
Brothers.
That.
That's what I really wanted. but we didn't have to do that. Actually, you know what would have been terrible? This would have been a podcast blunder then if we would have given out an email address and we didn't verify it first. And then we had to go back on another episode and then tell everyone that we messed up the email address in the previous episode.
There you go. That would be a blunder.
But yes, it would.
For those listening, because we said a lot of names, the email address is crowdblunders@gmail.com. So if you send us your questions, your comics, your stories, we will reply to you and we may feature it on a future episode. So we would love to hear from you and we will be back every single week. I don't know what day these are going out. And so this is not going to age well, but once we figure out what day we're putting these out on, we will be back every week at that time. So I hope you guys tune in.
Yeah. And thank you guys so much again. Like we said, this is just our introductory episode. We know, super boring, but we had to go and get it out here now. So you guys know who we are and why you should avoid listening to our advice. Yep. All right, guys. Well, hey, thank you so much for listening, and we cannot wait to talk again. Caleb, I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. See you, Alan.
Yeah, see ya.